welcome to worship today. You are most welcome here, and it is my honor to worship with you today. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. This is the third Sunday in Advent. We remember that Advent is a time of preparation. During these days, we are preparing our hearts for the coming of Jesus Christ. On the first Sunday, we lit the candle of hope. On the second Sunday, we lit the candle of peace. Today, we light the candle of joy. Pink symbolizes a break in the darkness and a time of joy as Christ's birthday gets closer. We have joy as we remember God's gift of Jesus to the world. Rejoice! Let's join together in today's call to worship. Joy is coming. Joy is here. Joy will come again. Come to the manger. Come, let us adore him. Come and worship. Joy is coming. Joy is here. Joy will come again. Friends, what good news. So, let us pray together. The coming of our Lord is near, and we wait in joyful expectation. Draw close, Jesus Christ. Shed your light on all that is filled with darkness. The coming of our Lord is near, and we wait with hope-filled hearts. Draw close, beloved Son of God, teach us the wonder of your all-embracing love. We pray in your precious name. Amen. Make straight the highway of our God. Let us come to him in confession. God of today and God of tomorrow, you say, bring your full self. There's room for you here. But we say, our lives are too messy. You say, bring your hopes and your dreams. There's room for you here. But we say, it's too risky to hope. You say, bring your grief and your prayers. There's room for you here. But we say, some things are easier to forget. God of today and God of tomorrow, we know in our hearts that there's room for us here. Forgive us for withholding our full selves from you. Forgive us for only giving our Sunday best. Help us remember today and tomorrow. There's room for every story. Amen.
Our family of faith, we who feel scattered are held together. We who have lost our way are forgiven and found. And we who are lonely are brought into the fold and told, there is room for you here. From generation to generation, this is the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are held, forgiven, found, and welcomed. Thanks be to God. Amen.
The scripture reading this morning is from the book of Isaiah,
chapter 9, verses 2 to 7. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. They lived in a land of shadows, but now light is shining on them. You have given them great joy, Lord. You have made them happy. They rejoice in what you have done, as people rejoice when they harvest grain or when they divide captured wealth. For you have broken the yoke that burdened them and the rod that beat their shoulders. You have defeated the nation that oppressed and exploited your people, just as you defeated the army of Midian long ago. The boots of the invaded army and all their bloodstained clothing will be destroyed by fire. A child is born to us, a son is given to us, and he will be our ruler. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. His royal power will continue to grow. His kingdom will always be at peace. He will rule as King David's successor, basing his power on right and justice from now until the end of time. The Lord Almighty is determined to do all this. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Each Christmas we gather to celebrate heaven having come down to earth in the form of an ordinary child. Barbara Brown Taylor says Christmas is the time when the membrane between heaven and earth is so thin you can almost see through it. Christmas is the night we measure all time against. True, if we go out and look up, we know we cannot see through this really thin membrane that separates heaven and earth, but that does not stop us from coming together year after year during Advent and Christmas to sing our carols, read our scripture, offer our prayers, share our stories, share the gifts of our treasure and of ourselves. All this in hope that the thinly veiled heaven might become reality here on earth. And the cast of characters we experienced earlier today in our wonderful creative children's pageant, that cast of characters likely did not cause much of a threat or even a ripple in the land of Emperor Augustus, her governor Quirinius. Why would these wealthy rulers care about a pregnant teenager, wandering shepherds, an adorable donkey, Mary, Joseph, and the rest? These bit players are so incredibly tiny, so incredibly small compared to these mighty rulers. And yet the birth of the child predicted by the prophet Isaiah, the one who Isaiah says will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, this birth declares whether these rich and powerful leaders care or not. Whether they even notice or not, the birth of Jesus is going to change the whole world. That's an audacious claim, isn't it? That Isaiah writes about when you think about it. The birth of a baby to an unwed teen amid the squalor of a backwater town could possibly matter. God isn't exactly putting a dream team together here. How many of you have ever been part of a team? And did any of those teams you were on have a uniform? I think of guides, I think of scouts, the military, cheerleaders. The favorite picture of myself was taken about 70 years ago now. There I am standing in the middle of a field, baseball in a flattened ball glove, bat in the other hand, baseball cap on my head. Biggest smile ever because I had made the team and I had a uniform on. I still remember those days of being picked to be part of the team. Entertainer Garrison Keillor recalls the childhood pain of being chosen last for the baseball teams. A captain for each team was selected first, and then they would take turns selecting players. It was a process that could be humiliating for the last pick, or worse. And the person that got to choose first in taking the picks, the captain and the other captain for the other team, would throw a bat in the air and one would grab it with their hand and they would go hand over hand over hand. And the last one holding that bat by the little knob on the end would get the first pick, an all-important first pick, especially in a small town. The good, better, best players would be selected. And now Garrison Keillor talks about the captains are down to their last grudging choices. A slow kid for the catcher. Someone to stick out in right field where nobody hits it. They chose the last ones two at a time. You and you, because it makes no difference. And the remaining kids, the scrubs, the excess, they deal for us as handicaps. If I take him, then you got to take him, they say. Keillor remembers being chosen as high as fifth, but usually lower. Just once he recalls, I'd like Daryl to pick me first and say, him, I want him. I want that skinny kid with the glasses and the black shoes. You, come on. But I've never been chosen with much enthusiasm. Just once we would all like to be chosen first. Just once we would like to avoid the agony of waiting and waiting until everyone else has been selected. Just once we would like to hear our name called with enthusiasm and excitement. So this Christmas, listen into the silence of the heavens. For it is at Christmas we are reminded that God chose us, God chose to come to us in the form of a tiny baby. God chose humanity, God chose us. God regularly shows up where we least expect God to be. And God always shows up for us. Have you ever considered that you are so valuable to God? God chose you early and with great enthusiasm and excitement. And God has only one team, and that one team is a dream team. And you, all of us, we're all on it. God chooses you, us, me, every time. Some would call it a team made in heaven. And this is the true meaning of Christmas, told in different ways year after year. And what might this Christmas mean for us, we, the dream team? What that mean? What might that mean for others? Friends of ours provided a vision in their annual Christmas letter to our family. Like everyone else, we are deeply disquieted by a world at war with itself, with the integrity of creation, at war with the truth, and we're angered by those who are promoting death and destruction in order to profit from it. Writing in the 60s, during an era not unlike our own, Thomas Merton described the prevailing political scene as a demented inn where no room is made for the infant Prince of Peace, yet into which he comes nonetheless, uninvited by the world's powerful. His place is with those who do not belong, who are rejected by power because they are regarded as weak, those who are discredited, who are denied the status of persons, those tortured, those exterminated. With those for whom there is no room, Christ is present in this world. Christmas is our time to place our hope in this truth and to celebrate the already immense number of individuals, organizations, cultural communities, and networks working for a future where swords are beaten into plowshares, where the lion and the lamb are dwelling together in peace, where the river of life and the tree of life are thriving, and the last and the least are leading the way. That's what this Christmas story was made for, to shine light in dark places, to bring hope to the discouraged, insight to the lost, and the promise of peace to all who long for it. Again this year at Christmas, our world will again be stopped because a child has been born to us. And in that child, heaven has again come down. And it will again be Christmas, a time when heaven comes down to earth and Christ is born anew in our hearts. Joy to the world indeed. Amen.
Joy, Advent, waiting. Will you pray with me for the children, the prayers of the people for the children? I will begin with a couple of lines from a prayer of thanksgiving by the poet John Oxenham and end with some lines of a prayer by the poet Amy Carmichael. They both lived in the early to mid 20th century. First, John Oxenham. For all that childhood teaches us of thee, we thank thee, Lord. For all that childhood teaches us of thee, we thank you. We pray for the children of this parish. Thank you for the joy they bring. Bless them, O Lord, as they so bless us. Let us pray now in silence or aloud the names of the children you place on our hearts. The beloved children. O God, we fall upon your mercy and grace as we struggle in prayer with the things that grieve us, that we don't understand. Even as we give thanks that most, perhaps all of the children mentioned, are safe and warm and fed and loved, we are aware of the painful juxtaposition of suffering children. For children who are ill or dying, in hospital or far from home, we pray for those on the long journey of chronic illness, and we pray for those who care for them all. Thank you for their dedication, their expertise, their compassion. We pray for children suffering because of war and greed and evil. Children displaced, kidnapped, abused, neglected, hungry, in poverty. We pray for those working to alleviate the suffering. Grant them strength, wisdom, courage, and resources. And for children who suffer or have suffered historically or presently because of our own indifference or ignorance or selfishness, O Lord Jesus, teach us and guide us in your way of love for every single child. We thank you for children as they learn and grow. Thank you for every teacher, coach, mentor, friend who love children and encourage them. Thank you for high school students. Thank you for the ones who come here for lunch on Thursdays, bringing their energy, enthusiasm, and gratitude. May they sense your presence here. Bless each group of youth or children who gather in this place. To you, O God, be the glory. We pray for our young adult children in universities, colleges, technical schools, and the workplace. We pray for our adult children as they face hard things, decisions, disappointments. May they realize your guarding and guiding presence. And for our children who are estranged from us, we pray earnestly for healing and restoration, O God of grace. And now for our children by Amy Carmichael. Father, hear us, we are praying. Hear the words our hearts are saying. We are praying for our children. Father, Father, be thou near them. Read the language of our longing. Hear the wordless pleadings thronging. Holy Father, for our children. And wherever they may bide, lead them home at eventide. And wherever they may bide, lead them home at eventide. Thank you, Jesus. With hearts of gratitude for every child, we come as your children to our Heavenly Father and pray together these words of Jesus. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Beloved, thank you for all the ways that you give to the work of Jesus Christ here at St. Stephen's. Let's pray together the prayer offering all these gifts back to him for the building of his kingdom. Accept, O God, this money offered, these gifts given, the goodwill of our hearts, that disappointment may be turned to hope and worry may be turned to anticipation, as we await with wonder the birth of Christ. Amen.
As you leave this place, may you go knowing that from generation to generation we have been claimed and loved. From generation to generation, God has been by our side. From generation to generation, we are not alone. The God of yesterday and the God of tomorrow knows you by name, loves you, and calls you forth, saying, go be the person you are called to be. Love wildly, do justice, and come back soon. May it be so. Amen.
Christmas Eve.